Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. I know the waves come in, or the news changes on a daily basis in regards to trade. Obviously, China and the United States are probably the two remaining world superpowers. There's of course United Kingdom, Great Britain. There's Russia. There's Iran. But I think it's fair to say that there are really only two world superpowers, and the U.S. Might even be the only one, but China has got some intentions there. So we have Asian expert Gordon Chang on today. It's going to be coming to Montana. We'll talk about that, but we'll discuss more of this strained trade and diplomatic relations between these two superpowers. Let's get right into it here. A ton to talk about, and the time will always fly. Welcoming Gordon Chang. Gordon Chang is an Asian expert. He's actually the author. His newest book was out October of 2024, Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America, 2001, The Coming Collapse of China. He is a distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute, a member of its advisory board, and has just had a ton of things, I suppose, to say about China lately. Good morning, Gordon. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Tom, and thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on the program today, and welcome to Montana. I know you're going to be doing some dates here. The one that I have in front of me, you were mentioning Dillon, I think Miles City, but this one is June 6th in Columbus, and that's a Friday. Montana Concerned Citizens Foundation Fund is putting that on. CelebrateAmericas250.com for information on that. So thank you for sharing that. What is the message? I guess we'll start off with the top line item there. What do you want Montanans to know about our current relationship with China?
China intends to destroy our country, and that's a tough message. And I know that in the really beautiful part of our country, in Montana, it's sort of hard to understand, I think, the world, which is really awful beyond your borders, because you guys live in paradise.
I'm not going to argue that one, Gordon.
and my wife and I are going to go to Montana for the first time. So we're really pumped. We're really excited about this. So China's regime has an innate hostility to the United States. And it's not because of anything that we say or do, Tom, but it's because of who we are. You have an insecure regime in Beijing that's worried about the inspirational impact of America's values in form of governance on the Chinese people. So we will never have amicable relations with China as long as the Communist Party rules it. And that is the essential problem. May 2019, People's Daily, the most authoritative publication in China, carried a landmark editorial that declared a people's war on us. That's a phrase which we Americans think is propaganda. But it is important propaganda, because for an insecure regime like Beijing, propaganda is all important. And so China is trying to establish a justification to strike America with its propaganda. And by the way, people's war in Communist Party lingo means total war. And that is what we have to take back from this. Remember, we Americans, we just ignored Osama bin Laden until one day when he reached out and killed 2,977 of us. And then we sort of said, how did this happen? But Osama bin Laden has been warning the United States for a very long time beforehand. So we should not ignore the warnings of China. And where I live in New Jersey, it's difficult for us to understand the maliciousness of the Chinese regime. It's just very, very hard for us to understand as Americans.
Why?
That people hate us.
Why is that, Gordon?
It's because there are a number of factors when it comes to China. First of all, there's communism, which believes that communism must rule throughout the world, that there must be a dictatorship of proletariat, that the capitalist must die. But also, it's just this whole Chinese notion. Xi Jinping believes and has been trying to impose China's imperial era system, where Chinese emperors believed that they not only had the mandate of heaven to rule what they called Tianxia, or all under heaven, but that heaven actually compelled them to do so. So China's leader believes that he should not only control the world, he should not only dominate it, he should not only exert hegemony over it, but he should rule it. And since 2017, Chinese officials have been talking in public about how the moon and Mars should be considered a part of the People's Republic of China. In other words, sovereign Chinese territory. And yes, it sounds ludicrous. It is ludicrous. But that's the way they think. And we Americans need to understand what our enemies are saying. They're not our competitors. They're not our adversaries. They are our enemies. And they are because that's what the Chinese say. So we don't have a vote in this, Tom. That's the way they feel. That's the way we must feel in order to defend ourselves.
How do we play on this? Because you have noted here that Xi has already probably declared himself a deity in China and owner of Mars and whatnot out there. And then with President Trump now on the scene and challenging China in a lot of ways, there's some rethinking going on, but is it good rethinking? Is it going to line up in a way that we'd like to see?
Yes. You know, America for five decades had a policy of engagement of China. In other words, American presidents thought it was in America's interest to strengthen the Communist Party, strengthen China. And so we had policies which favored Chinese workers, for instance, over American workers. When President Trump took office for the first time in 2017, he broke that engagement policy. And the way he put it was that he was going to govern for the benefit of Americans, not for the benefit of Chinese. And that was a stark break with the past. And, you know, we saw in 2018, Trump first put tariffs on China as a remedy for the theft of intellectual property. And this time, of course, with his Liberation Day tariffs, he has brought tariffs not only to China, but also to other countries as well. This is an important break with the past because we've been very indulgent. We've allowed other countries to impose not only tariff, but non-tariff barriers against American products. And we have not put up the same barriers to their products. So, yes, all throughout this, we have a rethink of not only our trade relations with the world, but more important, our trade relations with China.
What kind of engagement then do we have? Because I have felt that staying engaged with this country would be to our benefit. And I don't necessarily mean to strengthen China. That's what I don't mean by engagement. It's mostly so that perhaps you can focus on the right hand so that you don't see what the left hand is doing. You know, things like that. What kind of engagement will benefit the United States in this relationship?
Yeah, we have to have relations with China, which means we need to talk to them. But engagement is sort of like a political science term for a more full relationship with China, where we believe that we can cooperate and live with China, and where we strengthen China as a goal of American foreign policy. We have seen over the course of decades, and the so-called engagers have seen that their policies have not resulted in what we all hoped, which is a more democratic, a more open China. In fact, our policies have encouraged the opposite. We've strengthened a militant Chinese regime. We've emboldened the worst elements in the Chinese political system. We did that by showing that in aggression works. You know, we were very patient, very indulgent. So when the Chinese regime did something belligerent, we just sort of ignored it in the hopes that eventually China would see things our way. But what we did was when we showed that aggression works, it strengthened the very elements in the Chinese regime that were the most hostile to us. So we now have a very provocative, a very aggressive China that is threatening not only the United States, but it's threatening our partners and friends throughout the region and throughout the world. Because we've got to remember that China has supported the Russian regime full stop across the board in its attack on Ukraine. China supported Iran in its attack on Israel. China has been goading Pakistan in their recent conflict with India. And China has been fueling insurgencies in North Africa that look like wars. So China has been destabilizing the world. And by the way, they've been doing that with the proceeds of our trade and investment.
Yeah, and that's an important point here as well. Gordon Chang is with us. Again, distinguished senior fellow at the Gatestone Institute, a noted national author. You'll see a lot of his writings on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, The Hill. You'll catch him on TV, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, all those. So thanks for spending some time here. Once again, coming to Montana Friday, June 6th, and other places too. You should mention that. I don't have that in front of me here. This one I have from Montana Concerned Citizens Foundation Fund, CelebrateAmericas250.com for information on that. That's in Columbus on June 6th. Quickly, where else are you going to be at? I heard you said you were going to be, and this is nice because you're going to get the full view of Montana. If you go from Dillon to Eastern Montana, Miles City, you'll see a good chunk of our Big Sky country.
And that's great. And we're looking forward to that. I was born in very crowded New Jersey. I never saw a mountain until I was like 30. You know, we've got hills in New Jersey, sort of. But we don't have open spaces for the most part. And Montana is absolutely gorgeous. And I've got a good friend who lives in Montana who keeps on telling me that I'm an Easterner who has not seen the world. And so that's right, you know.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to this.
Good, good. And you'll see why it's called Big Sky Country. What about the trade wars here? What about, because I think people are maybe going, there's good, bad, or otherwise in what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, so to speak, or months with our Chinese and U.S. trade relations. What do you make of these?
Well, President Trump, we heard the agreement yesterday that the Trump administration struck with China in Geneva over the weekend. And that basically is we're pausing our tariffs, and they're pausing their tariffs on us for 90 days. The Trump administration says that China has agreed to open up its economy to American business. I hope that's right, but we got to remember that this is a promise that China's been making for decades. And they violated all their trade agreements with the United States, including its most recent trade agreement, which was with the first Trump administration, the January 2020 Phase One trade deal. And it was very easy for China to comply with that agreement. All they had to do was to buy more agricultural products and more manufactured goods from us. But they failed to do even that, Tom. And so I got to be really concerned about them agreeing to fundamentally change the structure of the communist system, which is what President Trump said yesterday, in effect. And I think that that's not very likely for a lot of reasons. One of them is that Xi Jinping is preparing the Chinese economy for war, and the last thing he wants are more American products and more American businesses in China. What he really wants is for China to become self-sufficient, to stockpile grain and other commodities for going to war, and for making sure that his society is not dependent on any other country, especially the United States.
And I think it's important, and I, you're out there advocating for this, others are, and I've encountered them, that we view everything that China does in this, you know, behind these glasses, so to speak, that their intent is to dominate the world. That's harsh. I mean, it's hard, end stop kind of thing. Why? There are others who are doing that. Why are we failing that? I mean, are we getting the message about how to better? I guess the question is, if they want to rule the world and war is a part of that, how do we dissuade those intentions without war?
Well, the most important thing is we don't give them the money to build up their military to attack us and our friends and partners. And that's very simple. That, you know, when history looks back at us, they'll say, why did we fuel that regime? Because they're configuring their military to kill Americans. And so it is not only strategically wrong for us to trade and invest like this, but it's also morally wrong. And so we got to stop this. We got to remember, you know, fentanyl. We talk about fentanyl overdoses, and 70,000 or so Americans die each year from that. But this is a part of a Communist Party plan. In China's near total surveillance state, the large fentanyl gangs could not operate without the knowledge or approval of the Communist Party. And a lot of these fentanyl producers are even state-owned. But it gets worse than that, because we know that Chinese diplomats give cover to the gangs, that every container that leaves China is inspected by Chinese officials, and that the fentanyl gangs, they launder their proceeds to the Chinese state banking system. And Chinese-owned TikTok promotes illicit drug use in the U.S. So it's clear that what we are seeing is a Communist Party plan to weaken America by killing Americans. And by the way, we talk about Mexican cartels. Well, those Mexican cartels make fentanyl with Chinese technicians. And the biggest fentanyl lab in the world, it was busted in November. It was busted in Vancouver, Chinese-run lab. So really what we're talking about is not fentanyl overdoses, but fentanyl murders. Americans are being murdered by a regime that wants to get us.
How far ahead are they? I hear people talk about we're playing checkers, China's playing chess. We're nervous about their AI technology. We're nervous about their social media in our country, their influence in a lot of ways. They're creating islands out of concrete, I forget what it's called exactly, and having, you know, areas of dominance or perceived dominance in the military. How far ahead are they in this game, so to speak?
The United States is still a far stronger society than China. But the problem here is that the Chinese regime is maliciously attacking us with great determination and vigor. And we have a problem with target identification. We are not defending ourselves as we should. We've allowed a lot of Chinese infiltration into our country. And we're not resisting, we're not opposing it with the vigor and determination that is necessary. That's our problem. Now, when it comes to questions like who's got a stronger Navy, we got a stronger Navy, but they have a bigger Navy, and they've got some weapons and some crucial weapons that we don't have, like hypersonic cruise missiles. You know, when it comes to technology, you were talking about AI. Our AI is probably a little bit better than theirs, but they're catching up very fast. So you go through the areas of technology, we're probably ahead in most of them. But in the ones that count, we're essentially neck and neck. We're a little bit ahead, but this is a very, very important and crucial race that we have in tech.
I got one call here, Gordon. I know you got to run up, and we're less than 5 minutes away from that. Gordon Chang is with us again, distinguished fellow at the Gatestone Institute, author of his new book, The Red Plan, China's Project to Destroy America, The Coming Collapse of China back in 2001. Skip, if you can get a question out there real quick. I know it has to deal with trade, and welcome. You're
I'd
on the air
to do
here.
That.
Hey, thank you. And Gordon, I'm just really drinking up all this information. It's a subject that I think is sneaking up on us, and you pointed out so many important and things that people better get their thumb on the pulse of. And what's going on in like the South China Sea and the way that the Philippines are being needled all the time, and what's going on with the possibilities in the future with Taiwan. Would you just give us some cliff notes on the things we better start learning about quick, so they don't sneak up on us, and how it's going to affect world trade and the trade routes? I appreciate it, and thank you for your information, and thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Skip.
Skip, a lot of the trade in the world goes through the South China Sea, which China claims as its own, as sovereign blue water, which is absurd. They actually are a party of the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea that prohibits claims like China's. But in the South China Sea, we see the artificial islands that China has built, which Tom just referred to. And China's engaging in some very belligerent activity with regard to the Philippines, which you, Skip, mentioned. They're picking on a country that they think is weak, and they could easily create a situation which spirals down into conflict. That's what I really worry about. With regard to Taiwan, which you also mentioned, Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, he stakes his legitimacy on claiming Taiwan and annexing it. I don't think the people in Taiwan, they don't consider themselves to be Chinese, so they're not very happy with that, and they will resist. I don't think the Chinese are going to invade the main island of Taiwan, at least the way to start hostilities. But we got to be prepared for anything at any place at any time, because the Chinese regime right now is lashing out. And it's a very, very tense situation.
Where do you think, and I've got about a minute and a half here. And again, thanks for your time. Where do you think we'll see that? If I'm looking ahead, what's next steps for China?
I think the next step for China is to lash out. And it's Xi Jinping, I think, would do so because he probably sees a closing window of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And he's lashing out not to rally the Chinese people with war so much, because the Chinese people don't want war. But I think he would think a war is in his interest to prevent other senior Communist Party figures from challenging and maybe even deposing him. We have seen in this last month belligerent Chinese activity against South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Philippines, which Skip mentioned, and faraway Australia. And an incident in any of those places could become a conflict. So, yeah, we've got to be extremely concerned because China is challenging its neighbors to the south and to the east. And this could be where the history's next war starts. Remember, we got a war in Europe. We got a war in Asia, in the Middle East. We got insurgencies in North Africa that look like wars. You know, we have this conflict with India and Pakistan, which hopefully is calmed down. But if we have one more war, then this starts to look like global conflict. And remember, in the 1930s, we had separate wars that turned into what we call World War II. And we got to be concerned that the separate wars of today do the same thing and merge into a much greater conflict.
I'm dying to ask, I know you got to go, how do we use this aggressiveness against them? How do we use the hegemony against China? And I don't necessarily against them, but how do we, again, dissuade those intentions and using this aggressiveness against them?
That's a great question. And the answer is that we develop stronger relations with our partners and allies, not only in East Asia, but around the world. We do that. We present China with a coalition that it can't beat. So it's not just China versus the U.S. It's China versus the world. And we got to do more to stitch up our relationships with our partners and friends. Trump right now is in Saudi Arabia doing that. I think his meeting in Riyadh is going to be historic. He is getting the Middle East on side. That's a great thing.
Gordon, I'm really looking forward. I'm going to see if I can't catch that June 6th. I have plans, though, elsewhere. But I'm also looking at Plan Red now, too. You know how I'm sure your book list is long in terms of what you need to read. I'm going to put that one on there and get boned up. And I hope you enjoy your trip immensely, Gordon. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it. And thanks to Skip for his question.
Yeah. Look forward to chatting down the road, too. Again, Montana Concerned Citizens Foundation Fund. Look them up. That's June 6th in Columbus and elsewhere.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.